Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lawrence Taylor. I'm pastor at Kenilworth Baptist Church. And I'd like to share a few thoughts with you with reference to Jesus, the Messiah. When I was a student at Brooklyn College, and at that time it was overwhelmingly Jewish, I had the opportunity to interact with many Jewish students. And one of the passages that I used to like to talk to them about was Isaiah 53. Now, according to this passage in Isaiah, we have a picture of the suffering servant of Yahweh. And this, I think, would no doubt be a reference to the Messiah. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in general, is quoted frequently in the New Testament. But the most frequent reference that we have in the book of Isaiah in the New Testament is Isaiah 53. This is quoted more times in the New Testament than any other portion in the book of the book of Isaiah. So my encounters with these students were very interesting because they gave me, that is the Jewish students, they told me that Isaiah 53 is not a reference to the Messiah, that this is no more than a Christian interpretation, that Jews have always believed that Isaiah 53 was a reference to Israel, to the nation of Israel. Let me just read some portions of Isaiah 53. It's 12 verses, but I don't need to read every verse. It starts off, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, "Who has believed our message, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." So the question is, whom is the prophet speaking about? This is the same question that the eunuch, that is the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, asked Philip the evangelist in chapter 8. There the Ethiopian eunuch was reading this passage, and the eunuch said to Philip in Acts chapter 8, verse 34, quote, "The eunuch answered Philip and said, 'Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else?'" Now notice there the eunuch only gives two choices. It was either of himself or someone else, not the whole nation of Israel. I took a class in Judaic studies when I was at Brooklyn College, and the professor said that Isaiah 53 always referred to the nation of Israel. That's the way Jews always understood it. But I begged to differ with her, and I did challenge her in class. Because according to the Babylonian Talmud, which is the authoritative Talmud, you have two. You have the Jerusalem Talmud, you have the Babylonian Talmud. It's the Babylonian Talmud that's the authoritative one. And the Talmud, of course, is a collection of writings by the rabbis. Well, in that Talmud, it says that Isaiah 53 is a reference to the Messiah. Now, let's note that this goes back to the second century AD. That's how far back the Talmud goes. And it says this is always a reference to the Messiah. Maimonides, the philosopher, Jewish philosopher, said that during the Spanish Inquisition, said that Jews always believed that Isaiah 53 was a reference to the Messiah. When did it change? When did they impose this notion that it was referring to Israel? They imposed that notion later on because Christians said Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53. So as a response to the claim that the Christians were making, Jews created a different hermeneutic. They changed it around and said, no, Isaiah 53 is a reference to the nation of Israel. But not even the Jews prior to Christianity believed that Isaiah 53 was a reference to Israel. They believed it was a reference to the Messiah. And who else fulfilled this? Let me just point out a couple of things before I end here. We have a conversation going on. The prophet Isaiah says, who has believed our message, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? He starts off by saying, who is going to believe what I just saw? Well, what did he see? Well, in Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15, let me read that. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. So here's what the prophet says. Who's going to believe what I just saw? In this vision that Isaiah had, he saw the servant of Yahweh, that's the Messiah, highly exalted. He said, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up. But at the same time, it says he was marred. In fact, his appearance was so marred that he was not even recognized as a man. And then after that, he says he sprinkles many nations. Kings will shut their mouths. Well, he says this is confusing. One moment I see him exalted, the next moment I see him in total humiliation, and then I see him exalted again. Who's going to believe this report? So that's what he means when he says, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? But note something else, a conversation now takes place. And let me tell you what this conversation is. This conversation is between the nation of Israel and God. Israel speaks. Verse 2, for he grew up before him like a tender plant and like a shoot out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. So Israel is giving an excuse why they didn't come to the Messiah. The first excuse they give is that he looked no different than any other man. He looked like an ordinary man. He wasn't stately in his form. There was nothing majestic about him. Therefore, we were not attracted to him. Then they give another reason in verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, He was despised and we did not esteem him. So the other reason that they give why Israel didn't come to him is because they said he was an abject person who was despised and rejected. Then they say, how can we believe that such a person would be the Messiah? Now they recognize him later on because in verse 4, they said, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. But at that time, we didn't know that. So that's why they said, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But then in verse 5, they say, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging, we are healed. They said, now we recognize why he suffered like he did. He suffered like he did because he died in our place. He says in verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Now, what it says in verse 6 is this. He died in our stead, in our place. He bore our sins. We deserved it, but he took our place. So note now, Israel at this point comes to a knowledge of their true Messiah. This conversation that Isaiah gives us will certainly take place in the last days when the Messiah comes. When it says in Zechariah, they will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for me as one mourns for his only child. So the time is coming when Israel will turn their hearts to their Messiah. When I presented this to my opponents at Brooklyn College, they could say nothing. All they could say is, we got to follow the tradition. But if your tradition contradicts the word of God, then you need to get rid of that tradition. So Isaiah 53, a powerful passage. Thank you.